moment in time. Thank you for the opportunity to be all here today. Thank you for the life. Thank you for be with us in the middle of any situation that we're experiencing in our daily life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for the cross, for his blood. Thank you for everything. Appreciate everything that you're doing in our life. In the name of Jesus Christ, in this time, right now, we ask you, Lord, to be you speaking to the church. Be you talking, not me, please. I want to be out of the equation, and please continue blessing us with your word. The one that we're going to share right now today, I believe that it's going to continue transforming us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Okay, so today we're going to continue talking about immovable, but we believe God put in our hearts that it's going to be the last one, the last topic of the series. So today, because it's the last one, it's not going to be just the least, but it's really good. It's really amazing topic today. So I hope we can be blessed the same way that I was blessed with these scriptures. So today we're going to talk about staying firm. That's the name of the title today, staying firm. And in order to go through this topic, and you're always using the 1 Corinthians 15:58 as a reference, it says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable. This is ESV. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So I'd like to go over these scriptures and see what is the blessing that God has for us today. Because staying firm, we already talk about build, consistency, pledge. So those topics help us to understand a little bit more about being movable in situations in our life. But today, staying firm, it will show us what we need to do in order to stay firm, to not be movable to anything. I know the other ones also, be related to this one, but these scriptures that we're going to share today is going to be talking something really revealing to our spirit, which is amazing for me. It's really good. So I want to go really quick to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, and we're going through verse 3 also. Three, and we're going through 15. Are you here with me? Hallelujah. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what will be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So, as the Holy Spirit says, now this is the Holy Spirit talking, right? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I say their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Praise God. So what God is trying to talk to us today is that we know, we listen to his voice, we listen and learn from the scripture, but sometime anyway we are doing that, we still having our hearts hardened. Anyway, we are still listening to his voice. Why? Why is that? Why we keep experiencing those things in our life? We have to learn and continue understanding why or how we can fix those situations internally, mindset, so that way we don't be affected with anything that is happening. Like Hebrews say, or the book of Hebrews, but the Holy Spirit was saying, don't go back to that experience of the rebellion, because these people, they learn from God, they heard from God, they saw miracles from God, but they still have their hearts really hard because they don't want to continue believing in seeing those miracles. They're just ignoring that. They want more stuff for themselves. They want to continue experiencing some things for themselves, but not giving the glory to God. Not leaving the living God controlling everything in their life. They just want to continue satisfying their own desires. That's why these people get rebellion against God and start walking 40 years, according to the Bible, in the same place without any purpose, without any place to go. Having the promise in front of them. The other day I was sharing with the kids at home, we were watching a movie related to Moses, and I told them, it's really sad that Moses, he didn't enter to the promised land. Having that promise, having that experience with God, but because he was interfering in that rebellion with the people of God, God told him, you're not going to enter. Because God wants to, let's say, I know it's going to be sounds tough, but it's the Bible said that God wants to kill them, right? According to the Bible, he wants to remove everyone because they have the heart really hard. They have that heart. Anyway, they were experiencing those miracles and those things from God, which is really, really a rebellion that we are putting in front of him. Anyway, he was showing us his miracles, showing us everything that he is a loving God in our lives. So today, God wants to work in our unbelieving. Because anyway, we are here and we're listening to those scriptures and seeing God's miracle. Sometimes the stuff that is happening outside, we apply the word of God like we're learning, but then we forget. We tend to forget, and then now we are creating an unbelieving in our life. And that's what God wants us to understand today. Do not let the unbelieving take control of your life. Continue believing. Continue trusting in him. Having the confidence that anyway you're not seeing that miracle, that anyway that you're not seeing those things in your life yet, continue believing. He will bless you. He will bless according to his will. He will do it. The thing that he wants is, do not let your heart be hardened. Amen? Okay, let's go really quick to this scripture. This is scripture of the story of Mark 9, and we're going through 14:29. Because, again, we like to learn about more about the unbelieving, and we will see Jesus Christ talking about this story that it happens in the moment that he was here on the earth, showing us how we can control that unbelieving. What we need to do in order to continue believing and trusting in God. This story, we will learn it also in Luke 9, 37 to 44, 43. You can go later over there. Matthew 17, 14 through 21. But today I want to be more pointed out to Mark 9, 14 through 29. Ready? Okay. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" This is Jesus Christ talking. Okay? This is happening after the Transfiguration, by the way. So some great miracle happened over there, or some manifestation or vision happened over there. Maybe just three disciples saw it, according to the Bible. However, that's a big thing, right? It's the same thing of these Jewish people that when they were over there in the wilderness or the desert, the same thing. They were seeing some wonders from God, but then now they are seeing this manifestation from the people. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation." Pay attention to that one. Jesus Christ is talking based on what this father is coming and asking, "Hey, I have my son. He's possessed by a demon. I tried to your disciples. Your disciples are not able to remove the demon." And now Jesus Christ is replying and say, "You unbelieving generation." Who he's talking? We might be thinking, oh, he's talking maybe to the demon. Maybe he's talking to the kid that is possessed. Maybe he's talking to the father. Maybe he's talking to the crowd. Maybe he's talking to the disciples. We have different people around here right now. Okay? "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Hallelujah. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," say Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Jesus Christ is talking to the Father now. "If you can, anything is possible." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." He get it right away. He say, okay, so this is the formula? That's the formula? Okay, so help with my own belief, because I know sometimes, anyway, I saw the wonders. I know who you are, Jesus Christ. I still unbelieving. And maybe that's why my boy is not getting released or delivered. Because I need to be helped from my unbelieving. When Jesus saw what a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he say, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many say he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive drive it out? And this is the answer. He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. There's another version that say also by fasting. Both of them, sorry. Fasting and prayer. Which generation? Which kind he's talking about? The disciples. And we can confirm that if we go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 17, 20-21. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and came out of him, and the boy was healed. We already talked about this, okay? Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and say, why could we not cast it out? And this is the answer. Because of you, your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have a faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. He's talking to the disciples. Now, chapters before that, he sent the disciples, and he told to the disciples, go, preach the kingdom of God, deliver demons, I give you authority and power. Why they couldn't in this moment? Why? Because of that situation that you and I live in a daily basis. We are applying the word of God sometimes, but we tend to forget about it. And then now, I'm with Christ now. Oh, I got everything in control. But then when really something happened in your life, you have to continue applying that word. Don't forget about it. Don't be double-minded. We have to continue believing and trusting, because we tend sometimes to unbelief, untrust of what God is doing in our life. God already did something in your life, and then when something happened again to you, sometimes, and also to me, we tend to unbelief and say, wait a second, he already did something years ago or months ago in my life. Why am I not believing now? And that's what happened with these disciples in that moment. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking to them and to us right now today and say, we need to go in prayer and fast to remove the unbelieving. So that way you can cast and remove and deliver the people out of the demons out of the people. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking over here. If you need help on unbelieving, oh, let's pray and fast. According to the Bible. Don't blame me. Don't look at me. Say, we have to fast now. We have to pray. No, yeah. According to the Bible, that's the recommendation from Jesus Christ. You want to continue believing, trusting, having that in your life? Then let's get into prayer and fast. That will help you to continue believing. That will help you then to deliver removing the demons out of the people. Removing those things that is affecting the people. Helping also in our life, in our flesh. That reminds me, and I know I'm not tend to share testimonies maybe one day, but I'm gonna tell you today one of them. When I was starting in this environment of Christianity, I challenged God sometimes when I was starting. Like I say, I want to see some things from you. I want to see some miracles. I want to see some manifestations, some wonders. If this is really you or through, okay, I want to see it. I want to see if it's real. So then I start getting into prayer and fasting. And I start with one day, and then I then went to 3 days without anything, without food, without water. All the glory to him, please. And then I get to another one of 7 days, and nothing happened. But that one, the one for 7 days, I start then asking him. And I say, I'm not seeing anything. Are you real? Is this true or not true? The seven-day one. The seven-day one, it was 12 hours per day. And then that day, a lady was walking in the front of the church that we were doing the praying, the fasting, and she was going to buy drugs. Maybe a senior lady, I can say, maybe. It was older. She was going to buy drugs, and then we have the speakers outside because we were cleaning the whole church. So we have the speakers outside. We have worship song, and then she was walking outside of the church going to buy some drugs, and then she listened to the worship song. And the Holy Spirit, like, touched her. And then she had to come back to the front of the church, and then she was asking, I don't know, I feel like I need to be here. Something told me to come over here. So they called me. And I went over there. When I went over there, right away, there was no moment or hesitation or anything. I just grabbed her hand. Again, please, all the glory to God. I was just fasting 7 days. This one, it was the day number six, Saturday. Day number seven, it was Sunday. I touched her hand, and then boom, manifestation of the demon. Start manifesting. I was with two members of the church over there, and then they're just like, ooh, this is not for me. But because I have some experience before in other religion, in other environment, I was not scared of that because I saw already manifestations. So I grabbed her hand, and then I start praying for her. And then she started doing weird movements, and then all the eyes went black. All that stuff that you maybe know or see before. And then I keep praying for her in the name of Jesus. And then she got delivered. Boom. And then when she got delivered, she starts singing songs, worship song. Praise God, worship Jesus. You know, and I say, okay, so now she's delivered. And then right away when I... I get emotional, sorry. Or is the presence of God right now. So... I finished with her. We led her over there, and then I went straight to the church, and then I start praying to God and say, thank you for showing me who you are, for showing me your miracles and your wonder. I don't know if it was like 1 or 2 minutes. They told me, two ladies from another church just stopped here in a car and told her, God told me to pick you up. Come over here. That's God showing you the miracles and wonders in our life to help you continue believing in Him. That's Him. We need to get into fasting prayer. If we want to continue trusting, having that confidence in Him and not receiving the unbelieving and not get that unbelieving in our life, we need to enter into prayer and fast. So we can start seeing those wonders from God also in our life. That will make you unmovable. That will make you that whatever is happening or whatever you're feeling, emotion or anything in your flesh that is from the devil, you will notice, you will understand it, and you right away you will say, no, this is not from God. That brings me also to the story of Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph? He had the vision. He say, I saw 12 stars that they're going to bow me. You are. You're the smaller from the family. So you're saying that all the older brothers are going to be bowing you? You're crazy. I don't know. That's what I'm seeing. And I'm believing. I'm trusting in that. I have the confidence that that's going to happen. So he continued believing in that dream that God gave him. You guys know the story. The brothers throw him, and then he gets into the prison. The lady that he was trying to get him involved in sexuality, but he started running, getting out of the way, right? Because he understood that everything that it was happening, that it was not part of the plan of God or the great idea of God that we were talking last week, it was not part of that vision that from God. And that's why he said, nah, this is not from God. I'm going to continue believing, trusting in God, not removing the unbelieving, and I will continue following the vision that he gave me. He went to prison. He was in darkness over there in prison. But then God continued using him and said, okay, I'm going to put you where I show you that I'm going to put you. And then God put him in the position of being like a government, a governant over there in that moment. And now the vision was accomplished. The same thing with you and me. You have a vision. You have a purpose from God in your life. Continue believing in that, trusting in that. If you kind of tend to remove that, or maybe because something is happening and you say, wait a second, I forgot what God showed me, or the vision that he told me that is going to happen in my life. Let's go to prayer and fast. Because Jesus Christ, that's what he was talking over there. That's why he told them, in order to remove that kind of generation, we have to pray and fast. So that way you continue believing. I want to share also, when Matthew 9:22 says, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter. He say, your faith has healed you. The faith. I'm not removing any credit here from Jesus Christ. Please don't take me wrong. But there's also an action that we have to take to believe, to trust. Jesus Christ told to this lady, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. We're talking about the woman with the blood issue. When Jesus entered the synagogue, leader's house, and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, this is the leader of the synagogue asking him, can you please heal my daughter? Because I think she's at home, she's dead. Right? And then when Jesus get over there, he say, noisy crowd and people playing pipes. He say, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laugh at him. After the crowd had been put outside, don't lose that one. The noisy crowd, the people playing pipes, the people that they were believing that she was dead. Jesus Christ told them, go away. Get out of the house. Because if you are in the house, I cannot heal her. Because there's too many people here that they are unbelieving right now. Noisy crowd, playing pipes, go away. The girl is not dead but asleep. And then he said the crowd had been put outside. After that, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. But it was when the people get out of the house. Faith. Unbelieving. Hallelujah. Sorry, this is just the introduction. Hallelujah. I want to share something. This guy, last name is Wiersbe. He's a pastor, theologian, writer. He said, the Christian life is not a playing field, but a battlefield. We are a fight all the time to maintain the position that is given you and me. That's all the time, guys. Church, that's all the time. Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore, my dear brothers, whom I love and miss very much. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. You who are my joy and my crown, remain firm in the Lord. But the beginning of that scripture says, therefore. Oh, let's take a look at Philippians 3:20-21. Help me over here, please. Philippians 3:20-21. Jaili. Philippians 3:20-21. You have it over there? Thank you. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Second one. Who? By the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious blood. That's the end. And then Paul says, therefore, therefore, my dear brothers, who I love and miss very much, you who are my joy and crown, remain firm in the Lord. In this, believing in the resurrection that is going to happen, that Jesus Christ is coming again, that you will be resurrected in a new body. That's what he's mentioned over here. Trusting that that will happen. Do you really trust in that? Do you really trust that you're going to be transformed in a new body? Maybe that's a question that we need to ask ourselves and say, yes, I trust in that. I believe in that because the scripture said, and he's coming again. So because I'm trusting in that and I'm living in that in a daily, daily base, okay, the unbelieving is not manifesting in your life. Sometimes it is really difficult, I know, to have the persistence in our spiritual life. Today, we read something and apply it and continue like the for a few days, but then that fades away with the dizziness life that is happening in our life. And that's the purpose of the enemy. What should we stand firm on? One way to stay steadfast is to set our eyes on Jesus Christ, our author and consumer of our faith. He is the author and he finished it. He accomplished with that faith. And we are with him. He is with us. So we have to believe in that and living in that faith. Okay, my first point is just three, really quick. The first thought that I want to share with you guys today, it is firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. It is not the time to see God in a sentimental way, but spiritually. We have to continue seeing this spiritual life as the first filter that we need to pass in our life, so that way we can manage everything in our life based on the scripture. We have to be careful with the emotions. The enemy is trying to get us from there. God is love. We love God. But we have to be careful with the emotions. Sometimes they're going to get into the trusting, the believing, and then getting the unbelieving because of that reason of the enemy. Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold unswerving to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, not only in what he say, but in his present, also invisible person. Always holding on that, believing in that hope. Also, to stay firm in the faith, Hebrews 11:27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered. Thank you. Because he saw him who is invisible. In other words, he stood firm, or he believed, he maintained that faith firm because he saw him who is invisible. Hallelujah. We continue believing in that. We continue believing and trusting in him. The second thought that I want to share, it is firm in attitude. 1 Corinthians 15:1, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By standing firm in the gospel, our lives reflect what we have believed. We are letters that people are reading. We are a testimony, in other words. So people are reading from you. People are reading from God through you. People that they are not believers, maybe they are trying to see God through you. So we have to be careful with our attitudes. Stay firm on those attitudes. 2 Corinthians 3:2, ESV, it says, you yourself are our letter of recommendation. Paul, talking to them, talking to us right now. Written on our hearts to be known and read by all. Testimony. You and I, we're letters. You know what? Maybe we can open a series saying we are the letters of God. Okay, Matthew 18, 3, it says, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Attitude, the attitude of a children. We know that. We have to continue trying to help fixing those attitudes in us, to maintain firmly in the faith of God. 1 Timothy 6, 4, this is a New Living Translation. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Be careful with that one. Such a person has unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. We should make things simpler. We should not be complicated or complex. We make it complex with our own things, our own desires. Let's just God do what he needs to do in our life. That's it. 1 Corinthians 6, 7, NIV. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? Division, separation. That means we are defeated. According to this. Because our lives is on display, we must remain firm in our attitudes. So let's be like a children. The last one that I want to share with you guys today is firm at work. 2 Peter 1:10, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. This is the secret. If you don't want to stumble, you want to be immovable, this is one of the scripture to use, to apply it in our life. Let's do the effort to confirm that calling and election from God. That's the main thing. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the one that we have been using to open, and this one is the one that I'm using to close. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, which means growing, which means progressing in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our work for the Lord begins from where we are, our jobs, our family, marriage, children, parents. That's our work. Stay firm on that, believing and trusting in that. Don't let the unbelieving take control of your life. There are some times that we have to and must remain firm in the faith, in the attitude, and in the work. And that's what today God wants us to understand. To do these things, we need to remove the unbelieving from our life. If we remove the unbelieving and continue believing in him, trusting in him, everything will be fine. How we can do that? Oh, pray and fast. According to scripture. That's how we can remove that. Jesus Christ talked to us, talked in that moment and expressed, we have to remove the unbelieving. We have to remove the people, the crowd, the noisy crowd, out of the house. Don't take it literally. Spiritually first, always. There's no easy crowd sometimes in the house, and that means unbelieving. We have to make sure that God will continue blessing us, and that's removing the unbelieving. That's the main point and goal here. Remove it out of your heart. That way we can get to the promised land. That way we can get to the rest. Hebrews 3:14, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. Hold the conviction, the original conviction. What is the original conviction? He saved you. He did wonders already in your life. Hold on that. Firm. Stay firm. until the end. It's not just this moment, until the end. So that means continue every single day. Don't stop. Let's continue. Because this is going to be until the end. God bless you, church. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for the word. Thank you for everything that you are continuing doing in the church, in our life. We're going to apply this word in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke any plans of the enemy. We remove any unbelieving in our life. That anything that is happening in our exterior or issues or problems, circumstances, we're going to continue believing. We're going to remove the unbelieving. And we're going to set a time for you and with you, God, in prayer and fasting, so that way we can continue building that relationship with you and removing the unbelieving so we can see the wonders and we can continue seeing the miracles in our life and in your church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare your glory, your presence over here. Thank you for this time and moment. Thank you for your word. We praise you. We worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.